QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for June 18, 2014. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. The ARRL Aries E-Letter is available online at ARRL.org/ARES-EL. Or you may listen to the audio version at ARRL.org/ARES-E-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. And my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you ARRL named NOAA Weather Ready Nation Ambassador. A picture is worth a thousand words. Boulder County, Colorado Aries supports Boulder Boulder 10K. Reports: Hospital ICS protocol released with job sheet for amateur radio. CERT volunteers, download disaster reporter. The Tennessee Emergency Management Agency, or TEMA Oxcom spring exercise, in the history books. Reports: National Hurricane Center director commends WX4NHC ops test. Memorial Day medical emergency supported by Massachusetts amateurs. And K1CE for a final, communications in neighborhood preparedness. Those are the headlines. Here are the stories. ARRL named NOAA Weather Ready Nation Ambassador. The ARRL has been accepted as a NOAA Weather Ready Nation Ambassador. The Weather Ready Nation Ambassador Initiative is an effort to formally recognize NOAA partners who are improving the nation's readiness against extreme weather, water, and climate events. As a Weather Ready Nation Ambassador, the ARRL is committing to work with NOAA and other ambassadors to strengthen national resilience against extreme weather. Local Aries groups can register and participate as well at the NOAA Weather Ready Nation website. That URL is www.nws.noaa.gov/com/weatherreadynation, and Weather Ready Nation is written as one word, no spaces. So again, www.nws.noaa.gov/com/weatherreadynation. Or you may follow the program on Twitter @NWS. Thanks to Mike Corey, KI1U, the ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager, for this information. And this just in, the Okmulgee County, Oklahoma Emergency Management, or OCEM, has been awarded a grant of nearly $3,700 from Operation Roundup and the East Central Oklahoma Electric Cooperative Foundation, or ECE, that will allow the agency to purchase an amateur radio-based location tracking system for skywarn storm spotters. ARRL Oklahoma Section Emergency Coordinator Mark Conklin, N7XYO, and several area radio amateurs helped county emergency managers in planning the project. More information can be found at ecoec.com. Now we'll pause for our first station break. But first, we'd like to thank John Creel, WB3GXW, for the use of his repeater to transmit the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter each month. The WB3GXW repeater is located in Silver Spring, Maryland, a suburb of Washington, D.C., and may be heard on 147.225 MHz. There's more news to follow, so stay tuned. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for June 18, 2014. And now we continue. A picture is worth a thousand words. Boulder County, Colorado Aries supports Boulder Boulder 10K. On Memorial Day, Monday, May 26th, more than 52,000 runners and an additional 60,000 spectators gathered for the annual Boulder Boulder 10K race on the streets of Boulder, Colorado. This 10K race, the largest of its kind, is open to anyone who registered and is run in waves, beginning with the first wave of wheelchair contestants, starting off at 6:55 a.m. This is followed by waves of citizen runners. There are 90 waves in all, with the elite 10K runners, many of whom are from around the world, finally taking the course at around 11:15 a.m. This meant that the Boulder County, Colorado Aries, or BCARES, Amateur Television, or ATV, team had to be in place before 6:30 a.m. For many, the morning started at 0:30 in order to pick up the large amount of equipment needed and to reach their ATV vantage points before the crowds showed up. All BCARES operators were on site and on the air, transmitting 7 separate ATV pictures to the incident command post before the first wave of contestants ever approached the starting line. There were 14 amateur radio operators from BCARES helping to support the Boulder Boulder and their served agencies, the Boulder County Sheriff's Office, the Boulder City Police Department, and the Colorado University Police Department. Unlike most running and bicycle race events, the primary mission for BCARES was not to support aid stations or sag wagons and or supplement race course communications, but to provide amateur television, or ATV as it is commonly known, to the incident command post. This medium provided these agencies with unprecedented situational awareness from the starting line in downtown Boulder to the finish line at the Colorado University Stadium. BCARES personnel relied on their vast experience, ATV skills, and state-of-the-art ATV equipment obtained over the years from responding to emergencies like the devastating 2010 Four Mile Canyon fire and the 2013 Colorado floods that hit Boulder County. ATV has been one of the primary tools in the toolbox employed by BCARES for over 20 years. They are recognized as being the go-to ATV experts within the state of Colorado and routinely offer their personnel, services, and equipment to the rest of the Colorado Aries groups around the state as needed. The members of BCARES, which represents Boulder and Broomfield counties as Region 1, District 3 of Colorado Aries, used a combination of ATV, UHF, microwave frequencies, and social networking technologies to share their live ATV pictures between sites over great distances during the Boulder Boulder. Coordination of the ATV camera operators and communications to the Incident Command Post, or ICP, was effected through a combination of VHF simplex and repeater frequencies. 4 cameras were on the air using traditional 70-centimeter ATV transmitters and camcorders. These cameras are backpack-mounted and allow the operators to roam freely and be in any place where they may be needed. An additional 2 cameras were employed on 1.2 gigahertz from the start line, with their pictures being relayed to the ICP via a 5.8 gigahertz microwave link to a repeater located south of Boulder and relayed to the ICP. Rounding out the cache of ATV cameras was a 7th PTZ remote-controlled camera that was hardwired to the video distribution box at the ICP. All of the 7 pictures were simultaneously being recorded using memory sticks on the cameras and or on solid-state DVRs within the video distribution boxes. The combination of all 7 camera pictures was distributed to the various agencies at the ICP via various flat-screen monitors. Additionally, a video link was uploaded via Ustream that was shared on the Internet with our State Aries Management Team and offered to the ARRL Rocky Mountain Division Director and Ares managers at ARRL headquarters to view as well. The live Ustream video streaming link was also embedded into the BCARES webpage for the rest of our BCARES personnel to monitor from their homes. After the event was over, there were a few medical emergencies noticed in the stands where people had gathered, most likely from heat exhaustion. Remote BCARES ATV operators were able to find the incidents quickly and get their cameras on them. The incident management team at the ICP was able to view the response by their EMS teams on their monitors and follow them through the eventual evacuation of the patients. These videos will also serve as great training aids for future EMS teams. Thanks, Jack Siachi, WM0G, the ARRL Colorado Section Manager, for this report. Reports: Hospital ICS Protocol released with job sheet for amateur radio. The fifth edition of the Hospital Incident Command System, or HICS 2014, was just published. This document sets forth protocols for incident command responses to disasters associated with hospitals, internally or within the community. New for 2014 is a specific job action sheet for the emergency amateur radio operator. The job action sheet is based on the one implemented by the Western Washington Medical Services team about a decade ago and updated by the Kaiser Permanente Amateur Radio Network, also known as KPARN. This document has now been formatted to meet HICS criteria and will serve as an excellent starting point for any amateur radio group supporting a hospital. Lisa Schoenthal, the chief of the Disaster Medical Services Division for the California Emergency Medical Services Authority, or EMSA, announced the public release of the fifth edition of the HICS and said this conclusion of the multi-year revision process is the culmination of extensive national stakeholder input. The California EMSA thanked all participants in this endeavor, saying it exemplifies unprecedented collaboration among both public and private, healthcare and emergency management partners from communities across the local, regional, state, and national levels. This HICS 5th edition is offered to assist hospitals and the healthcare community nationwide with their emergency management goals. Thanks for this report to Duane Mariotti, WB9RER, in Westminster, California. It's time once again to pause and allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for June 18, 2014. And I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting. Please let us know if your repeater is airing the audio version of the ARRL e-letter with an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. Please include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club. That email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. Our next article is titled, CERT Volunteers Download Disaster Reporter. Here's a message from FEMA. A picture is worth a thousand words. As we kick off the 2014 hurricane season, help us highlight the CERT, or the Community Emergency Response Team program, and demonstrate your capacity as citizens and trained volunteers to provide accurate, on-the-ground situational awareness and augment the capabilities of professional responders during disasters. As a CERT volunteer, you play an integral role in disaster reporting in your community. FEMA Administrator Craig Fugit, KK4INZ, is calling upon CERT volunteers throughout the country, including you, to download the FEMA mobile app, which includes Disaster Reporter. Why should you use Disaster Reporter? Here are our top four reasons. Number one. It provides FEMA responders, local emergency managers, CERT volunteers, and the public with greater visibility into disaster situations across the United States. This can help expedite emergency response efforts. Number two, it provides a reliable source for viewing disaster events around the country. Number three, it is a great free resource to download straight to your mobile phone. And number four, your support efforts in an impacted area will be displayed publicly on an online map. Learn more about Disaster Reporter at FEMA.gov/disaster-reporter and FEMA.gov/disaster-reporter-terms-conditions. I'll repeat those URLs, FEMA.gov/disaster-reporter and FEMA.gov/disaster-reporter-terms-conditions. In addition to the Disaster Reporter tool, the FEMA app also has preparedness tips, an interactive emergency kit checklist, recovery safety tips, open Red Cross shelters, open FEMA disaster recovery centers, and FEMA blog posts. The app is available for Android, Apple, and BlackBerry. And don't forget to check the latest CERT newsletter for other great resources and stories. The latest edition is available at FEMA.gov/community-emergency-response-team-national-newsletter. Again, for the latest edition of the CERT newsletter, go to FEMA.gov/community-emergency-response-team-national-newsletter. The Tennessee Emergency Management Agency, or TEMA, Oxcom Spring Exercise in the history books. The Tennessee Emergency Management Agency, or TEMA, held its annual Oxcom Spring Exercise on May 1st through May 4th at the Tennessee Fire and Code Enforcement Academy in Bellbuckle, Tennessee. The scenario for the exercise was that a major cyber attack had been launched against the United States, taking down the internet and critical infrastructure and resulting in civil disturbance and casualties. Because the internet was unavailable, all message traffic had to be passed by radio-only WinLink messages. WinLink 2000 is a global system for sending and receiving email-formatted messages over the radio, independent of the internet, which makes it attractive to entities needing to send messages when disasters occur and the internet is down. There were four primary objectives of the exercise. Number one, training on the use of the WinLink system in general, and specifically on the use of radio-only message transmission. Training also was provided on the Incident Command System and HF field antennas. Number two, test and assessment of the WinLink radio-only message transmission capability and capacity when stressed with an intense traffic load. Number three, test long-haul relaying of messages from distant states, including Washington State and Hawaii, via HF radio relay. And number four, test interoperability between shares, military units, civilian agencies, NGOs, and individual participants. Approximately 90 attended the exercise. There were 15 WinLink stations on site in operation simultaneously, including stations in a dozen command and communication vehicles. Many agencies participated on site, including TEMA, the Tennessee Department of Health, the National and State Guard, the Central U.S. Earthquake Consortium, or CUSEC, the American Red Cross, Arnold Air Force Base, FedEx, Bridgestone Emergency Response Team, and multiple county EMAs. In addition to on-site participants, many agencies and individuals exchanged WinLink messages within the exercise from off-site locations. All objectives for the exercise were met and exceeded. Training was provided both on-site and in Jackson, Tennessee. More than 880 radio-only messages were reported to have been sent or received by on-site stations. In addition, more than 400 messages were reported for the conventional internet-linked Winlink system. All received messages were reported with 100% accuracy. Long-haul message relaying worked well, with messages originating as far away as Washington State and Hawaii. An additional burden was placed on the radio-only Winlink system by a major Winlink radio-only exercise being carried out concurrently in Texas. The HF footprint of the two tests had overlapped. A system was set up in the Williamson County EMA trailer to act as a combined packet and HF RMS, or Regional Message Server. Messages were sent to this RMS via packet connections from local client stations, and the RMS automatically forwarded the messages via HF to other RMSs. This demonstrated that a packet HF RMS, located in a position with good coverage, can provide wide-area nationwide relaying of packet messages via HF. On the Military Auxiliary Radio System, or MARS, network, multiple messages were exchanged between the Tennessee National and State Guard, various civilian government agencies, NGOs, and individual MARS members. On the SHARES network, interoperability was demonstrated between multiple agencies. Since the MARS and SHARES networks use different RMSs and radio frequencies, messages were not directly transferred between MARS and SHARES stations. MARS-SHARES interoperability was achieved by having a joint communication center at the exercise. SHARES-MARS linking on Winlink could be accomplished easily if policy so dictates. Thanks to Steve Waterman, K4CJX, who is a member of the Winlink development team, for this report. We'll pause once again to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for June 18, 2014. We continue with reports. National Hurricane Center Director commends WX4NHC Ops test. The National Hurricane Center's amateur radio station WX4NHC operators conducted their annual on-the-air station test on May 31, 2014. This is the 34th year of volunteer public service by the WX4NHC group at the National Hurricane Center, or NHC. WX4NHC conducts this event each year in preparation for the hurricane season, which runs from June 1 through November 30. The station and operators were tested on many frequencies and modes, including HF, VHF, UHF, HF Winlink, VHF and HF APRS, Echolink IRLP All-Star, email, and an online reporting form. All radio equipment and antennas performed well and produced the most contacts made during this event in memory. Other equipment tests and operator training were conducted on new modes and software was tweaked. The WX4NHC test also provided good experience for amateur radio operators worldwide. It was especially significant for those in hurricane-prone areas, and it tested their station's ability to contact WX4NHC should they need to during a hurricane. The test also provided a good opportunity for National Weather Service, or NWS, office staff to become aware of the unique capabilities of amateur radio during severe weather and disaster communications when conventional communication modes fail. For the first time, D-Star and D-Rats reports were received at WX4NHC, which had been proposed during the National Hurricane Conference in Orlando, Florida this year by John Davis, WB4QDX, who organized and coordinated this effort. Although WX4NHC does not currently have a D-Star radio at the station, 51 surface weather reports via the D-RATS platform were received at WX4NHC. Operators are excited about the potential that D-Star and D-RATS modes can produce hurricane surface reports in a similar format that is used at WX4NHC. These reports may someday fill in an important gap in surface data during a hurricane that could not be received on other modes. WX4NHC made a total of 308 contacts in 9 hours of operations. The contacts ranged from local VHF and UHF stations in South Florida and the Florida Keys to international stations as far away as Guam. Contacts and surface reports were received from 25 U.S. states and countries including Bermuda, Canada, Cuba, Curacao, Guam, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Haiti, Honduras, Mexico, Puerto Rico, and Venezuela. Contacts were also made with the National Weather Centers in Norman, Oklahoma, Broward and Marion Counties, Florida EOCs, and the Guantanamo Military Base in Cuba. Operators were pleased to communicate with Jean-Robert Gaillard, HH2JR, the president of the Radio Club of Haiti, as well as Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH, who have both supported the efforts of WX4NHC for many years. Contact was also made with Craig Fugit, KK4INZ, the FEMA administrator on Echolink. Thanks were expressed to Mr. Fugit for his strong support of the amateur radio volunteers. WX4NHC operators were also thankful for all Skywarn volunteers nationwide for their continued efforts to help the NWS and NHC, and for the ARRL's help in publicizing this event, as they have done for many years. Special thanks went to Mike Corey, KI1U, the ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager. And our thanks to Julio Ripoll, WD4R, the WX4NHC Amateur Radio Assistant Coordinator, who is celebrating 34 years at the National Hurricane Center. Finally, Dr. Rick Knabb, the director of the National Hurricane Center, commended the WX4NHC effort by saying, "Thank you for conducting this test to make sure you're all ready for the season, and I appreciate everything you and the community do for us." Memorial Day Medical Emergency, supported by Massachusetts Amateurs. Amateurs in the Plymouth, Massachusetts area assisted with a medical emergency over the Memorial Day weekend. Ron Smith, N1PXX, radioed over the 146.685 MHz repeater that he needed help. Mr. Smith had pulled over on the side of the highway after he experienced a medical issue. Kevin O'Donnell, K1KOD, responded and obtained Mr. Smith's cell phone number. Mr. O'Donnell used both the radio and the cell phone to keep in contact with Mr. Smith while he called 911 and gave Mr. Smith's location to the state police. Mr. O'Donnell informed Mr. Smith that the police and an ambulance were en route. Unfortunately, the police initially drove by Mr. Smith's vehicle without stopping. David Ring, N1EA, also assisted by placing additional calls to the police and emergency services. Mr. Smith was located a short time afterward, and he was transported to South Shore Hospital. Last heard, Ron Smith, N1PXX, is on the road to recovery. Thanks to John Williams, KB1EVY, and the ARRL Eastern Massachusetts Section News for this report. Before we have final remarks from Rick Palm, K1CE, we'll pause to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for June 18, 2014. And now, K1CE for a final, Communications in Neighborhood Preparedness. Rick Palm writes, "Let's take a moment to look at how the radio amateur down the street can help support his or her neighborhood to meet its preparedness goals. A radio amateur is ideal to call a meeting of his neighbors because of his expertise and experience with communications, which is the first prerequisite for any successful resident endeavor. Flyers announcing a planning meeting and agenda can be dropped in mailboxes, followed up with telephone calls. A community center or even a neighbor's home can serve as the venue for the meeting. The initial meeting is an icebreaker for neighbors to get to know one another in the context of possibly relying on each other in a disaster response scenario. To start off the meeting, a review of the types of hazards that can face the neighborhood and a history of events in the past can set the tone and instill the gravity of the mission with attendees. A roundtable discussion can be held with introductions of individual neighbors, noting their personal and professional experience and interest in fulfilling preparedness functions. Initial assignments can be made and then changed or modified in future meetings as necessary. The radio amateur is the obvious choice to lead the communications function, and accordingly able to overcome the effects of isolation of the neighborhood in a post-disaster environment. Amateur radio is the most versatile radio communication service available to the average citizen and neighborhood. The radio amateur is the most experienced in radio communications principles and practical applications. The ARRL's Mike Corey, KI1U, says, "There has been a lot of research on the issue of a lack of trust between the issuers of warnings and the public that receives them. Amateurs are a good way to bridge the trust issue. We can put warnings in terms that our neighbors can understand. Communications functions also involve the immediate safety of life and property in the aftermath of a disaster. Getting the neighbors to communicate with one another to activate the neighborhood plan and to establish reliable communications with the outside world to convey situation reports, critical needs, and delivery of critical supplies. Health and welfare messages on behalf of neighborhood members can be transmitted to the outside world, which might be only a few blocks away, to concerned friends and family members. There is no underestimating the need for radio communications, not only for critical needs, but indeed for the morale of the potentially psychologically stressed, devastated neighborhood families. The radio amateur could also maintain portable electrical generators and docking stations for rechargeable batteries, perhaps in his garage, for neighborhood use as required when normal power is out. Hams are experts in the use of alternative power sources. Many radio amateurs are trained in search and rescue, or SAR, techniques and protocols, and amateur radio has a long-standing history of serving searchers-rescuers with radio communications. SAR has been linked with amateur radio for decades. There are numerous environments for SAR, and one size does not fit all. The person in charge of this neighborhood function should be aware of and trained specifically for the kind of SAR environment he or she will face, urban SAR, for example. Communications for this function is critical when neighbors are missing and potentially injured. The neighborhood team concept can potentially save the lives and properties of some of the most important people you hold dear besides your family and friends, your neighbors. Amateur radio is a critical component of the team's assets. Next month's ARRL Centennial Convention, Banquet, and Public Service Forums. See you there. Mr. Palm also writes, "I am excited about attending next month's ARRL Centennial Convention, which will feature a banquet with keynote speaker FEMA Administrator W. Craig Fugit, KK4INZ. The banquet will be held on Friday night, July 18th, in Hartford, Connecticut, and is among the highlights of the ARRL Centennial Convention, July 17th through 19th at the Connecticut Convention Center. Prior to becoming FEMA Administrator, Mr. Fugit served as Director of the Florida Division of Emergency Management. Mr. Fugit has been an amateur radio licensee since 2012. On Thursday, you can attend the Public Service Communications Academy, conducted by ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, KI1U. Speakers represent several of our national partners: Federal Emergency Management Agency, Department of Homeland Security Office of Emergency Communications, National VOAD, National Public Safety Telecommunications Council, American Red Cross, and Department of Interior, Bureau of Indian Affairs. I hope to see many readers of the ARIES e-letter and listeners of the Aries Audio e-letter there for what is sure to be one of the seminal events of the history of amateur radio, and especially the ARRL. 73 from Rick Palm, K1CE. And that's the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for June 18, 2014. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2014 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.